In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I'm going to go back up to the board here. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus is going to who? Israel. And during this period of time, you see a lot of interaction. I'm not going to go through all of them, but you're going to see miracles after miracle after miracle. And you're going to see wonders and signs and that kind of thing in that period of time. And people don't understand about rightly dividing. I can tell you, I believe God can do all things. And when you talk about this subject, sometimes people act as if you don't believe God can do all things. There are certain things, though, that God is limited to do. See, God is just. Everybody say that. God is just. And so what he does for one person in the body of Christ, he would have to do for another. If he healed one person, he'd have to heal the other. And there's a great book, and I'd highly recommend you getting this book. It's Sir Robert Anderson. You might want to write this down. You probably won't remember it, although you're bright and great students. The Silence of God. And in the first chapters of that book, of Sir Robert Anderson's book, he's describing a call to the mission field in which they're called to where cannibals live. And instead of ending up being great ministers, they end up being dinner. And he questions, where is God? I mean, they tugged on these people's hearts, said, you need to go over here. And the next thing, someone's going, you know, it tastes like chicken. And it doesn't seem fair, and it's not funny, but it does happen. And the point that I'm making, where is God? Why isn't God helping those people that he's called out and brought into the mission field and sent over to this group of people and they eat them? You know, it seems like there's an unfair and unjust God. But I believe for the last approximately 2,000 years, God's hands have been off of planet Earth. God isn't going to stop that hurricane. You know, I could pray for that hurricane to turn around and head south. What do you think the chances of that are going to be? Slim and none. And I can pray that people won't murder their children. And you know, I'm not going to stop that, am I? And I'm not going to stop the thugs from trying to steal my iPhone. Like, I didn't see that Jeff up here. He was trying to put it in his back pocket, that little stinker. You can't stop it. And God isn't going to stop it. But you know, in every angle, you ought to see that there's something going on. I mean, I don't see this stuff happening like I see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Look in John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, come on down just a little bit. Verse 6, And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay of the spittle, and anointed his eyes of the blind man with clay, and said, Go and wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. And he went his way, therefore, and he washed, came seeing. You know, I believe in miracles, but I don't believe that God is performing them today for you. See, listen, if God was performing miracles, none of those people would need glasses. Yeah, oh, we should have prayed for that too. I thought, you look so good. It's so good to see Jamie. He looked healthy as a horse. Pray for Jamie's hip replacement. That's in 3 weeks, so keep that in your mind. You should have yelled that out, brother. This guy, literally, Jesus Christ, spat on some ground and made him new eyes. Goes and washed, and he can see. And I see all these healing services where the lame can't walk, but then they get glasses, and they're all still wearing glasses. You know what? If I could wipe out glasses, I would, just like this. Shoo. And you could take off your glasses and see. And that isn't the way it works. So what are signs for? What are miracles for? Go to 1 Corinthians and listen to the Word of God speak as it does to our hearts. In 1 Corinthians, look if you will in chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look if you will in verse 22. And I want you to repeat after me. And by the way, I don't think it's some of the guys wrote in and said they repeat after me. It sounds kind of... No, you should repeat. Listen, it's part of the memorization process. And I want you to repeat with me verse 22, just the first part. For the Jews require a sign. Everybody again. For the Jews require a sign. Now, you can say whatever you want, but that's a very simple, very easy verse to understand. Okay? And you don't have to go to the hard verses to understand that. Who needs a sign? The Jews need a sign. And they needed it all the way through the Old Testament. I'm not going to go through all the Old Testament, but you know the story of Moses, right? What happens? God tells him to do what? Comes out, puts it back in, and it's clean. And what he was doing, basically Moses said, they're not going to believe me, God. He said, show them a sign. And it was like, that sign's not good enough. So he gave them quite a few signs. And you know, eventually the mystics said, this is the finger of God. Listen, the signs were to convince the Jews. And it convinced everybody. But you see, guys, we're not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. We're not walking by what we see with our eyes. What we see with our eyes may deceive us. But you know what? The Word of God will never deceive you. In fact, the Word of God won't say one thing to Jeff and one thing over here to Miss Mary. No way will God do that. What God says to Jeff is exactly what He's going to say to Miss Mary. Why? God is just. Everybody, God is just. He's a real God, and He's a real just God. He isn't going to say one thing to black people and one thing to white people. He isn't going to say one thing to females and one thing to male in the sense of that kind of thing. He's going to say the same thing over and over, and I thank God for that. See, there were miracles, but why did God use miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. See, people say, well, why do you rightly divide? This would be a good reason why to rightly divide. In Matthew chapter 10, read with me in verse 5. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to, come on, help me, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Do what? Heal the sick. Why would they want to do the heal the sick? The Jews require a sign. Gosh, you guys are great students. Great students. It's unbelievable, guys. The reason that He went around doing miracles after miracles after miracles in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was He was sent to the what? Lost sheep of the house of Israel. Go back to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 22. You don't have to turn. Quote it. For the Jews require a sign. And so in John 9 and all the way through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you see Jesus performing miracles after miracles after miracles. Why? The Jews required a sign. And you say, well, what was that all about? It was all about the Jews. In fact, go to 1 Corinthians 14. People ask me all the time, what are tongues for? Go ahead, ask me. I'm glad you asked. Look in verse 22. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 22. Now, none of this is very difficult, but what makes it rather difficult or rather hard or rather uncomfortable to be explained to is because there's a lot of people out there doing it. And so people say, well, it's got to be alive today. It's got to be real today. And you know, they don't even know why they're doing it. And again, I would add this to the baptism list or the Lord's Supper or any doctrine that you're going to apply that you've got to say, okay, why am I doing this? Now, am I saying people aren't speaking in tongues? I'm just saying that it's going to be very unusual when you start to lay this thing out, there'd be no need for it. Why? We don't walk by sight. We walk by what? What is faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So how are you going to get your doctrine? Do you need things that you have to see? No. You've got to have things that you believe. Remember the last part of that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22? It says, for the Jews require a sign. What do the Greeks seek after? Wisdom. They need the knowledge. Yes, Jeff. No, there aren't any today. Okay? Something is going on other than the Holy Spirit moving them. But again, I want you to see what Paul is talking about. Here, look in verse 22. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign not to them that believe. Who believed? The Gentiles. But it's assigned to them which what? Who didn't believe? The Jews. Do you see that? That's very important to understand. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serve not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. That's why God filled up the Word of God for you Gentiles in according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. He completed the Word of God for you Gentiles. Why? There doesn't need to be any question in your faith what God is up to. The purpose and the action and the will of God is clearly defined for you Gentiles in the books of Romans through Philemon. Do we have to rightly divide Romans through Philemon? Yeah. Why? Because in the first part of Paul's doctrine, Paul went to the what? The Jews first. Would Paul be doing signs if he was talking to a Jew? Yes, he would. The whole idea of signs and miracles during the time when Jews... Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, I believe, is the... Now, remember that the Corinthians... who would be included in this? 1 and 2 Corinthians, right? The Galatians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and the Romans. And 1 Ephesians. Don't get too complicated there. Just that kind of list. Okay? Now watch this. He said, truly... are y'all there in 12? 2 Corinthians 12:13. He says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Did Paul do miracles around there? Yeah, he actually, in Acts chapter 14, guy falls out of the rafter, dead. He revives him. Why did he do that? The Jews require a sign. And so for a period of time in Paul's ministry, approximately, I'm not getting defined here, but somewhere around 70 A.D. or Acts chapter 28:31. Not getting specific. Somewhere in there, Paul quits going to the Jews. And so Jewish things sit aside. And you know that he wrought miracles because he says in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. And so Paul did some great signs. He healed people and on and on. And I'm not going to get into the specifics of that. I want you to understand the doctrine of it. Go to Romans chapter 3. I mean, I believe that Paul in these places believed there was an advantage of being a Jew. I believe that he thought it should go to the Jew first. But you know, it comes to a time when he's not dealing with the Jews anymore. And at that point in time, in that period of time, the things that the Jews require weren't necessary anymore. You do not need to see the act of God in order to believe the Word of God. Now, Romans chapter 3, you're all there? Now, watch this. Verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? What is Paul saying? Much every way. Chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God, and on and on. Did Paul believe there was an advantage of being a Jew at one point? Yes, he did. In Romans chapter 1, look if you will, in verse 16. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel of Christ, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first. Everybody, to the Jew first. That's clear. And also to the Greek. So, you know, as long as the Jews were in the things, what did Jews require? A sign. So did Paul do signs? Yeah, people say, well, you don't believe in signs, but your apostle did them. Yes, but I know why he did them. I know what he was up to when he was doing. He was trying to convince the Jews. Look in Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 2. That I have a great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who were Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers and who are concerning the flesh. Christ came, who is over all. God bless forever. Amen. Well, come on. The whole idea of this whole thing was Paul was going to become like a Jew for the who? The Jews, and become like a Gentile for the Gentiles. Why? He knew the Jews needed a different picture to look at than the Gentiles needed. You got it? Needed it. And so he did very Jewish things for very Jewish people. He loved those people. He had a heaviness. So his miracles and his wonders were all to convince his people. But at the end of the book of Acts, no longer is he trying to win over the Jews. Go to Acts chapter 28. Listen to this. Y'all there? In Acts chapter 28, read with me Acts 28:20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you. The you are the elders of the Jews. Okay? To see you. To speak with you. Because that for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with a chain. Now, I want to explain that verse just a little bit. Why was Paul in prison? Okay, when I go at the end of that, that's a question usually means you need to... What? Yeah, he said, I'm going low onto the Gentiles like you in this room. And they say, away with such a fella. It's not fit that he should live. And the captain, had he not charged in, they'd have strung Paul straight up on a noose. So he's in prison because he's saying, God sent him to you, you heathen Gentiles, you Gentiles outside the covenant, you Gentiles without any hope, you Gentiles. And now he's in chains. And what he's saying to Israel is, I'm bound for the hope of Israel. What was the hope of Israel? Now that they have to act like a what? A Gentile. Well, would Paul be using signs for Gentiles? No, he wouldn't be using any signs for Gentiles. Did he use signs for Jews? Yes. But now it's becoming, lo am I. And there's no need for signs anymore. Why? The Jews require a sign. Everybody. The Jews require a sign. You don't have to wonder about the doctrine. You know the doctrine. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Jews require a sign. But watch what happens. Verse 26. Saying, go unto this people and say, hear ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people, who's this people? Israel, is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Be it known unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles. Do the Gentiles require a sign? No. And that this salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and everybody help me, that they will hear it. Are they going to hear it? Yes. And at that point, from that point on, there's no need at all for anyone to have any signs done anywhere. Why? The Jews have become, lo am I, as in Hosea 1 verse 9. I've been reading the book of Hosea. He had three kids. The last two weren't his. God called the last one, lo am I, for he's not my people. God cast away his people. God isn't interested in the Jews any more than a man in the moon. God's interested in you, the church. God's interested in you, whosoever shall call upon the name. He's interested in you that shall call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. He's interested in you. He's put Israel aside, and for almost 2,000 years he's poured out grace. And we call it amazing grace, but that word doesn't even reflect what it really is. He pours it out in some general form that we can understand it, but it's way beyond all of our human comprehension in the sense that we can understand how a God could love us. And had no hope, and we're outside the covenant. Then, well, how do I know his signs went? Go to 1 Timothy. Go ahead, you can ask me now. How do I know? Is William the only one curious? Because I'll meet with him later if he's the only one. William is the spokesman of the group. Then give him a mic. In 1 Timothy, so often people, and I can't find my verse real quick. Where does he tell you to take a little wine? No. What is it? Yeah, there it is. It's not in 6, it was in 5. I had it in 6 because that's the top of my Bible. Thank you. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 5. You know, look if you will, and I want to start in 22. He says, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sin. Keep thyself. Lay hands suddenly on what? Well, what are they doing today? What did your apostle say? What did he say? Lay hands on no man. What do they do today? You know, I got to do this. I'm sorry. Now watch. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmity. Well, Paul, why don't you heal Timothy? That's weird, isn't it? His best buddy is 35 years, and he tells him to drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Now, he did not say, Larry Burke, a lot of wine. And he didn't say grape juice. He said use, and the word in the Greek is a medicinal type thing. Use a little wine. Paul's trying to heal Timothy. Using a little wine. Do I think you ought to have a glass of wine? Yeah, occasionally. And if things are really bad, a bottle doesn't hurt. I'm just joking. Everybody gets so uptight about this stuff. You know, it's like, whoo. I can tell you, after I lost Jonathan, I had a glass of wine or two. I was sick to my stomach when my son died. Couldn't hardly eat. I know Miss Faye knows what I'm talking about. Don't you, honey? There'll be a time when there'll be a glass of wine in your hand and it'll be all right with God. Do you know what he didn't do to Timothy? He didn't heal him. He left Miletus back sick. Guys, listen. Paul lost all of his ability to heal. Why? It was not required. In fact, he warns us at the end of grace, toward the end, that the thing that is going to be deceiving to people are what? Signs. At the end, he's warning them. Look at this. I mean, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now watch. Look at the warning of Paul now. At the end of grace, looking at the rapture, what is going to be deceiving people? Verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Everybody with me? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And let me give you a hint of what the mystery of iniquity is. She's the whore of Revelation 17, verse 5. You might want to take your Bible pen out. And she's described in Proverbs chapter 7, the whole chapter. She is the whore. She is duplicating God's system. And people today cannot distinguish whether it's of God or whether it's of man. I can. You know why? I have the Word of God to shield me. It is my light onto my feet. It is the light onto my path. It says it is the thing that keeps me from stumbling. It is the thing that keeps me from... It's the Word of God, guys. The Word of God directs me. I don't need signs. I know what signs are. Watch what he says. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. That's the body of Christ. And then shall the wicked be revealed. Who do you think the wicked is? It's the Antichrist, isn't it? It's the old man Lucifer. It's the devil. And the wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What coming? The second coming. You might want to put that. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan. How? With all power and signs and lying wonders. Why would signs be the wrong thing for this? Over here. Where they were okay over here. The Jews were involved here. What is it over here? And how do the Jews have to act if they want to get saved? And then that means they don't need what? Signs. Why? The Jews require a sign. And so God is warning you in the Bible, in 2 Thessalonians, who's coming after the working of Satan with what? All signs and powers and lying wonders. He's coming to deceive the church and the people to believing that he's God. Say, well, how's that going to happen? Look in Revelation 13. Aren't you glad you came? Wouldn't you have hated to miss this? Revelation 13. Satan himself is coming with sign. He is actually going to raise a person from the dead. And people are going to believe, are you listening to me? That Satan himself is Almighty God. And they will worship him, as in 2 Thessalonians, as the God of heaven and earth. He is a God, but he is not my God. He is a little g. Mine's a big G. Now here it goes. Revelation 13. Everybody there? And he doth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of what? He doth great wonders so that he make fire come down from heaven. He's doing signs. And watch this, verse 14, y'all still with me? And with all deceivableness that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should not that they should make an image to the beast, which had a wound by the sword, and did he had a fatal wound. And he caused this to live. And people go, no! There's no miracle that this could do that is God. And they're deceived by the signs. But we know why Paul did signs at the beginning. Why? The Jews require a sign. And after the Jews were set aside, there is no need for signs anywhere anymore for anyone. And then Paul takes the last part of his thing and said, look, Timothy, you use a little wine. I can't heal you. And you got to be careful because there's one coming after me who is going to use signs to deceive you. And you know how many people, according to the Bible, are going to be deceived? Look right here. Verse 16. And he causes everybody, all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand and in their forehead, that no man shall might buy or sell, save he that had the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name, and on and on. How many? All. And how is he going to do it? And you know that signs aren't for today. Why? The Greeks seek after what? You want the wisdom and the knowledge of God? Bless God, you've got to get in a church that studies the Bible, that gives you some intense foundation so that you're not tossed, as in Ephesians, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of what? Doctrine. And you got to get in there. Am I going to be right 100% of the time? No, but you know what? You're going to catch me because you're going to be such great students and so excited about the Word of God that you're going to drive your nose into the book and you're going to read it and you're going to think about it and you're going to meditate upon it. And you're not going to let someone just step up and say, well, I saw my sister grow another leg. You know what? I believe that somebody could grow another leg. I believe Satan has that power. You see, you got to remember when Jesus gave them the power against all unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and disease, you know who was amongst them? Judas Iscariot, which was the devil. John 6, verse 71. And he has been given the power by Almighty God. And you know why he's going to use that power? Go back to 2 Thessalonians, and I'll end here. This. He has given Satan the power to do that because people who don't study their Bible are going to be deceived. You say, well, that's mean of God. Hey, God has warned you. I have warned you day and night, crying. I would love to see your entire family here. I would love to see them. Why? Because you know what? People are just being deceived in churches. Amen? People don't know what's real and what's not. I mean, yeah, you say, well, I saw this person get healed. How do you know it was of God? I always ask them, how do you know it was of God? Well, who else could do those miracles? Well, are you kidding me? Satan can do those miracles. Say, well, really? Who gave him those powers? Well, I think God did. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 9 just to get the context again. Even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish. Perishing is not a good thing. Say bad. Bad, it's bad. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, for this reason, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. How is he going to deceive them? He's bringing a man that can flat out raise the dead. He's going to cause fire to come down from heaven onto the earth. He's going to deceive the means of those people by those miracles which he was able to wrought in the sight of the beast. I will teach on Calvinism one day. I'm set on a course for a little while on some basic stuff. I mean, all of this stuff is important, guys. There is no way that I can discover, but I can guarantee you that if you come, you'll learn something. How many learned something today? Okay? You know, you got to take it away. And you know, you're going to have a lot more questions than you have answers at the beginning. I know Gene's sitting over there and said, boy, I'm getting more and more as I go. That's okay. You know, listen, you're being preached something you've never heard before. Amen? And all of a sudden this little scrawny, well, not scrawny, this big fat preacher from Montgomery starts saying things. And, you know, you're like, wow. You know, who died and made him the expert? I'm not an expert, you know. But I do believe the Word of God. And I do believe it needs to be rightly divided. I couldn't just go to any church. It would bother me. My hair would stand up on the back of my neck. I'd be like a bulldog. I had a guy, Jesse Hendrix. Jimi Hendrix, the guitar player. Sorry about that. A little deja vu there. Woo! Anyway, Jesse Hendrix, that was in a Methodist church, and he started hearing our program, Brother Moore's program, actually, because we weren't on the air at the time, and was listening to Brother Moore and all that, and he's sitting in a church with 240 people in it, packed. And the preacher is preaching that Paul never got to Rome. And he had the guts to stand up and said, "Preacher, do you mind me reading a few passages?" And he proved that Paul was in Rome. That preacher hadn't studied, and 240 people were going to be deceived that Paul never made it to Rome. When in fact, Paul wrote his most important epistles to you during that prison stay. And the thing, but he had the guts to stand up and say, "That's not so, preacher. Let me show you the truth." And you know why the churches are in a mess? Because men of God have not studied. They've not gotten into the Word of God, and they won't stand up and say, "You know what? That's wrong, preacher. Let me show you why. I've been studying." Now, you know what? If we're talking about finite little descriptions, where the body started or, you know, the church, all that, I don't care about all that. I mean the basic doctrine. If it's wrong, you ought to be able to stand up and say, "That's not right." And you know, most of us don't have the guts to do that, nor the knowledge. And that's why we're in the shape we are. So I encourage you to study the Word of God. Study it.